It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. First off, Farm Service Agency Administrator Zach Duchino discussing a pandemic assistance program for spot hog markets.
As we conducted our review of the gaps that remained in the CFAP 2 program and contemplated further pandemic assistance, one of the glaring inequities was folks that had to sell their hogs on the spot market, specifically between April 16th, 2020 and September 1st, 2020. Those producers were victim to a lot of the meat processing capacity challenges that we all faced during the pandemic when we were really in the throes of it. So we put this program together to try to reach out to those producers and had an original deadline of February 25th, 2022. But new information has come to light that has us rethinking that and maybe making sure that we give producers a little more time to better understand the program.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. He's got a couple of websites, and we'll share those addresses with you in just a few moments. But Bob, I would have thought our top story today would be cattle on feed, but it absolutely isn't because we're dealing with a roller coaster in the markets, and especially when we're talking, whether we're talking wheat or corn or soybeans, man, it's up and it's down, isn't it?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. There's been a few times in the decades I've been watching these markets where I've seen this kind of volatility, and I'm sure we're hearing that left and right from anybody who has anything to do with, you know, touching the commodity markets. And it's not just the corn, soybean, and wheat futures, and livestock that we normally talk about. It's many markets. Look at the gold futures up 20 bucks and then down 40 and then up 30 and then down 40 and silver up 50 cents and then down 70 and then up 90. Crude oil up 3, 4, 5 bucks, then a break 3, 4, 5 bucks. So these are substantial moves. And when you talk about the futures markets that I'm involved in and we talk about, I mean, these are leveraged markets, right? I mean, you don't have to put up a relatively small portion of the actual value of the commodity contract that you're trading. And, you know, roughly that's anywhere, we'll just say loosely 5 to 10%. You got some one-offs like Bitcoin, which are 50%, but say 5 to 10%. So these moves are, when you figure in the leverage of 20 to 1 sometimes, phenomenal. And it's really hard to, well, it's a hard, if you have a strong discipline program and how to approach it, be that whether or not you're a speculator or a hedger. So if you're even keeled, even minded, and you have your plan on either whether you're going to trade this market or use this hedge set and you stick with that, then there shouldn't be a whole lot of concern because it just plays out when you're ready for it. But for anybody who's kind of shooting from the hip, these are harrowing times. There's no doubt about it. But the big moves that we've seen, some markets move slowly and, you know, you can kind of deal with the nuances in the marketplace because it's moving a little bit slower, but there's nothing slow about these markets lately, really. And it's hitting all the sectors, including the indices and the financials also. So yes, that was a long answer to your short question, but yeah, definitely some volatility in these markets. You know, the expansions have happened too in terms of expanded limits. So wheat, for example, the mis-offered winter in Chicago up 75 today. That is a limit move. Had been 50 cents, right? But the new circuit breakers are such that when the market goes limit up, then, I mean, basically this is the gist. It'll expand by 150%. So what had been a 50 cent margin or a daily max move is now 75 cents. So again, it just kind of amplifies the potential. And it really comes down to the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is obviously what's going on between the world's largest exporter of wheat, that being Russia, and Ukraine, which is the fifth largest exporter. So we're talking huge players in the commodity markets that are under severe conflict at the moment. And we just need to see how that plays out. Now, you look at Ukraine, you kind of wonder what's going to happen. It's all speculation. Everybody's trying to game it. But right now, the Black Sea export terminals are currently closed. So it's kind of a waiting game to see what's going to happen with that and when they will reopen. Thought process is if that, you know, Russia does what it looked like intending to do and take over, that they're going to want to open that port ASAP to start, you know, continuing to do business and not disrupt it too much. So even if Russia does take over at some point, shall we say, the thought is that the port's going to open as long as it doesn't get crippled and damaged in the meantime. So that's one thought at the moment. We look at purchases worldwide. So those who had done business with Ukraine and do business with Russia in terms of grains and have the ability to select where they're getting the grains from, based on principle or math in terms of economics, you know, are going to be seriously rethinking doing business in those areas until things calm down for whatever reason. So then again, it comes down to, you know, where's business going to be done and how's it's going to impact transportation costs. And, you know, that actually could be something that ends up benefiting the U.S. And that's what we're seeing, I think, with the prices. With that, again, May Chicago contract up 75, touching around 935. Even the hard red winter wheat was up to about 954 today, up 63 cents. And the hard red spring was up 34, right around 994-ish there. So big moves to the upside. So the market's clearly just trying to price in, at this point, what appears to be a little bit longer disruption to the whole supply chain in terms of wheat and corn, for example, and trying to figure out what to do with it. But for right now, it looks like it's trying to push higher, right? To the point of many people who are trading this and kind of like segueing on what I said earlier, if things all of a sudden abate and Ukraine and Russia have talks and something more amicable happens, then boom, you know, we might see these markets down 75 cents and wheat and down 55 cents in soybeans and down 35 cents in corn, just like they're up today. So be prepared and be ready. But that's just what we're trying to deal with. And again, it's no surprise. I mean, anybody who watches these markets has been definitely keying in on this action, and it has been rather crazy, shall we say. So it's really tough to garner or really guess what's going to happen with wheat over the short term because of that particular catalyst in the market right now. Now, it was interesting because it seems like what was happening in South America, which had been a primary driver in corn and soybeans, right, with the poor weather down there in Brazil and in particular in Argentina, I mean, do we hear about it anymore? It's crazy how we can just change focus in the marketplace and what's really being the catalyst at the moment. Now, I get it that this thing in Russia and Ukraine, this thing between Russia and Ukraine is taking center stage, but nonetheless, it's no less important still what's going down there in South America and the weather impacts and what the potential is in terms of their production. And, you know, that's still part of the equation. In South America, in Mato Grosso, the soy harvest is about 78%, much better than last year, and still about 9% better than the five-year average. So pretty good clip in getting the soy harvest harvested. In terms of the corn planting, that's done at about 83% versus 55% last year and about an 85% average. So just shy of the five-year average, but off to a much better start than last year. So looking at those two data points, things look like you would think under normal circumstances that, you know, soybeans would be discounting that to the downside. And yet for right now, obviously we need to prop things up until we get past this whole situation happening in Ukraine. Now, along the same lines in terms of soy, countering a bit what's happening down there in South America, just in terms of the harvest and the corn planting. We've got the soy crush, which remains very profitable, somewhere between, say, I think it's like around 35 to about a buck 70. And that definitely would make one think that the demand base is going to stick around, in particular in thinking about that, just one particular data point, you know, from the crush margins and those who are doing that. You would think that that also would help, you know, prop up the market if it does start to fall back a little bit, but it'll be a bit of a wait and see on that. But good demand base there. And in terms of corn prices, May contract up 35 cents today, 693 quarters. This was after being significantly lower yesterday, so the seesaw continues there. Export sales are good. Through February 17th, corn sales came in combined at about 1.15 million, 1.16 million. Expectations on the high end had been 900,000 metric tons. So obviously we eclipsed that pretty well. And that just shows good demand for export sales for United States corn. Cumulative sales so far, 77.2% of the USDA's forecast. Five-year average is about just shy of 71. So off to a good clip there. And In terms of ethanol, the corn used in last week's ethanol production was put at about 104 million bushels. All we need to do to meet this year's estimate in terms of corn used for ethanol from the USDA is just shy of 100 million bushels per week. So we're about 4 million higher than what was needed. So obviously a good demand base there in terms of ethanol. And you kind of see that with ethanol prices. Have been pretty strong of late. If you look at the September Chicago ethanol swap, it dipped down to maybe about 201, 202 just a few weeks ago, and now we're sitting closer to the 230s. So that's roughly about a 15% increase in prices over the last few weeks, which obviously sets the demand side of the equation with prices being higher, and that's going to work its way into the corn. So plenty of things to think about if you're a grain or oilseed trader. I normally like to give us some kind of support and resistance levels in these markets, but it's just something I can't do at the moment because of the volatility. So just play it close, have a plan, and approach it accordingly.
We only have a minute left, but cattle on feed report out as well. No real surprises there, were there?
No, not really. Pretty much nearly as expected, right, with the placements pretty close to the 99.2 that was expected. It actually came out 98.8. The marketing's number pretty much as expected, plus or minus, you know, a half point or so, and then the on-feed about the same. You know, I really don't think that there's a lack of beef demand in the United States. I know that we're working with a little bit smaller cow herd, so on terms of just the demand side of the equation and the supply side of the equation, those two little data points, things look pretty solid. I know cash kind of fell off a little bit last week, but with the volatility that we saw in the equity markets, okay, that being the S&Ps, Dow, NASDAQ, pick your favorite. If you kind of look at those as a barometer of consumer confidence, you could see that with the big dip that we saw in those equities, that cattle probably were due to come off a little bit. But now we're seeing a little bit of stability, hopefully some recovery, and hopefully that plays into the market and shows some strength in the fat cattle market over the next few days.
So if we want to talk one-on-one, how do we do it?
You can give me a ring at 312-987-2053 or reach out via email. It's bmauer@manducatrading.com or come visit the website www.myfuturesadvisor.com.
Bob Mauer, Manduca Trading, Chicago on today's Agribusiness Report.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
It's the new leader of the herd. The Fendt 1000 Vario is the world's largest draft tractor. With up to 500 horsepower, it pulls with tremendous strength and next-level traction. Fendt's breakthrough technology makes it incredibly effortless to operate around the farm, and its superior cab will have you feeling right at home. Experience all the innovations of the Fendt 1000 Vario today. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Bob Mauer, Manduca Trading in Chicago.
It's that time of year you've been waiting for. Commodity Classic is back, March 10th through 12th in New Orleans. Join the Sorghum Checkoff for a learning center session, Finding the Sweet Spot, combining precision agriculture and conservation to build a sustainable and diverse farming landscape. Don't miss this cross-commodity, cross-sectoral collaboration with Pheasants and Quail Forever and Cotton Incorporated. Register online at CommodityClassic.com or listen to it live here. Sorghum, the smart choice.
When it comes to farming cotton in West Texas, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers rely on Delta Pine brand cotton, bred, tested, and made in West Texas for West Texas growing conditions. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Find Bob Mauer at Manduca Trading online, myfuturesadvisor.com. Vario.com.
It's the new leader of the herd. The Fendt 1000 Vario is the world's largest draft tractor. With up to 500 horsepower, it pulls with tremendous strength and next-level traction. Fendt's breakthrough technology makes it incredibly effortless to operate around the farm, and its superior cab will have you feeling right at home. Experience all the innovations of the Fendt 1000 Vario today. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
United Ag is one of the largest association health plans to offer healthcare benefits for the agricultural industry. Their mission is to bring innovative healthcare solutions to agriculture by meeting their members' employee benefit needs. Join today and take advantage of the premier benefits offered by United Ag. United Ag is committed to contributing to a strong and healthy ag industry. For more information or to join, visit www.unitedag.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report.
Several analysts agree that agriculture and the ag economy has undergone a reset associated with the COVID-19 pandemic and its impacts. But does that mean a positive economic outlook for ag in 2022 and beyond? Speaking at this year's USDA Ag Outlook Forum, Nathan Kaufman of the Federal Reserve in Kansas City believes for this year,
we may not see conditions in 22 be particularly concerning, and 2022, I would argue, appears to be a relatively strong year.
Due to an economic rebound from the contraction caused by the pandemic and strong positioning of farm businesses. Yet he acknowledges potential risk could unfold alongside broader economic conditions longer term, such as a slower rate of economic growth and changes in interest rates.
Thinking very carefully about inflationary pressures, watching for signs of changes to supply chains and labor markets, all of those things will have, I think, important implications for agriculture.
I'm Rod Bade reporting in Washington, D.C.